All right, good morning, everybody. We made it to Sunday. Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. The whole week has just beat you down, but you can start out your new week on a Sunday on a high note, being in the house of the Lord. There's nothing better, in my opinion, you could be doing than right now getting to hear from God's Word, no matter who it's from, whether it be from me or from Pastor Skyver or any of the preachers that come through here. Glory to God, we made it to Sunday. That's what I like to look at. If you take your Bibles, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll spend just a couple of moments in review. And then we're going to figure out what in the world the Lord was asking Elijah when he said, "What doest thou here? What doest thou here?" All right, well, let's start out this morning with a word of prayer. Captain Freymeyer, would you lead us in prayer, please, this morning? Amen. Thank you very much. If you look again in 1 Kings chapter 19, we remember that starting in verse 4 that Elijah decided to go away. He decided to go away by himself. We learned that when you're discouraged, a lot of times you push people away. A lot of times when you're discouraged, you do things on your own. You go away from the people, alienating yourself, because that's the way discouraged people act. And I'm going to be honest with you, it happens with everybody. There's just times in your life you don't want anybody else around. There's times in your life where it actually makes you mad. It actually can make you irritated when people from the church, believe it or not, when people from the church tell you about the blessings in their life. You ever felt that way when you're discouraged and somebody said, "Well, glory to God," and it makes you mad? You ever heard that? Felt that way where you're so discouraged and people just make you upset? Well, I got to be honest with you. It happens with everybody. Don't feel bad about that in the least, because what happens is when you get discouraged, you're not in my opinion, you're not in your correct mind. When you get discouraged, you're not in the place where you ought to be. And we're going to figure that out today when we start to learn about what doest thou here. Very important to see that in the first part of this, we learned last week that when Elijah was in his most discouraged place, when he was in his most discouraged time, we learned that the first thing that the Lord did is let him know that he was there. He sent the angel down to touch him. We learn that the Lord said, "I'm going to show you my presence. Even in your darkest time, I'm going to show you my presence." I would to God, Christian, that you would learn that when you're in your deepest and darkest time, realize that the Lord will touch you if you let him. Realize that the Lord's presence is always there, no matter what you're doing, no matter how dark it is, no matter how discouraged you are, the Lord is there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord lets you know, let Elijah know, "Hey, I am there." The second thing he did is he fed him and gave him something to drink. Elijah was able in the first part to sense God's presence, and the next part he was able to sense God's provision. We learned that he looked on that fire and he saw that cake sitting there. And I told you about how great it is to have cake when you're discouraged. We learned that it's awesome to know that God provided for him. And he didn't just provide for him. He provided for him, as we saw, 40 days and 40 nights. We should have remembered, Elijah should have remembered that Jezebel said, "The same thing happened to me if I don't do this to Elijah in this day or by tomorrow." You got to understand something. The threat should have been passed. But Elijah was still worried. Elijah was still in a place of discouragement. Elijah was still in a place where he needed the Lord's help. So the Lord continued to help him by showing his provision. The third thing, he sensed God's protection, because the Lord admitted to him, "The journey is too great for thee." When you get into your lowest spot, and I like this. I like this. The Lord knows you, Mr. Sells. He knows you. He knows what you can and cannot take. You need to hear this, Christian. He's never given you something that you can't stand. Never. Your journey through life is too great for thee. But God, I'm so happy that the Bible has a lot of "but gods" in there. I'm so happy that the times that I turn around through the Scripture and I'm in my lowest spot and I'm in my lowest time in my life, I can turn to the Scripture and realize, "but God." We try so hard to get through things on our own. Why do we do that? We try so hard. "I don't need God. I'm big. I'm tough. I'm strong." No, the journey's too great for you. The journey's too great. Well, you say your life's going great right now. I don't think you have to go very far back in your memory to realize when the journey was too hard. I don't think you're going to have to go very far in your future before you start to be tested again. I don't think you've got to go too far in your past to remember that you were had a time there where you struggled and you needed the Lord. And I certainly don't think that you're going to have to go very far into the future to realize that you're going to have more discouragement on the way. And the Lord says, I know your journey's too great, but I'm going to be there with you. See, in the lowest part of his discouragement, in the lowest part of his time, Elijah rehearsing the problem through his head, rehearsing how, oh Lord, it's so bad, rehearsing how, oh Lord, I don't think I can make it. The Lord says, yes, I know. I'm so thankful for that. The Lord does know. So he showed him his protection by letting him know, yes, I know the journey's too great, but I'm going to be with you, to stand with you. And the fourth thing, strengthened him in 40 days and 40 nights, he showed him his patience. Christian, I don't believe the Lord's going to thrust you into combat until you're healed up and ready to fight. Think about that statement for a moment. When, Sergeant, you being in the Army, if a man's wounded and taken back to the infirmary to be taken care of, they don't turn him around and throw him right back out until he's ready to fight. You're not going to throw an injured man out there into the battlefield that has a broken leg and he's not able to run, he's not able to stand, he's not able to do those things. He's not going to just throw a man out there and say, you must continue to fight. No, Christian, he realizes you're wounded. He realizes you're going through some things. He realizes you got a broken heart. He realizes that you can't make it another step. He knows these things and he's willing to have patience to wait for you to come back. But realize that you're healing for God's service. Realizing that you still wear the uniform even though you're injured. Realize that you're still part of the team even though that you're hurt. Realize that your legs may be damaged, but you still have to walk again. See, we stay discouraged because it becomes easy. We've learned that last week. We learned that a lot of times it's more comfortable to stay discouraged than it is to be encouraged. It's more comfortable to stay in a spot where woe is me. It's easier to stay here than it is to go over here and start to fight again. It's easier to go AWOL on God than it is to keep going forward. We're getting to the point of what doest thou here, Elijah? Look at what God does here. Chapter 19, verse 9. We learned in verse 8, he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. I'm so thankful for the word of the Lord. It came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Knowing, and I tried to stress this to you, when you're discouraged, you think over and over and over about the thing that's got you discouraged. Come on, somebody say amen this morning. Stop at Dunkin' Donuts on the way over and get you some coffee before you come in here and get ready to be preached at. Now let's get excited this morning. We're going to learn how to get out of discouragement this morning. So you got to understand something. He had rehearsed this problem and he was ready to give the Lord his pat answer. He was ready to give the Lord exactly why. He was ready to tell the preacher, why haven't you been in church? He's ready to tell the preacher, this is why. He's ready to tell the preacher, this is what's going on. He's ready to give God the answer that he's come up with. As if God doesn't know. Ha, look at this answer. Boy, this sounds like us. Look at this. And he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. He reads him his resume. I love it when people do that. I love when I go to Christians and I talk to them about what they're doing with their life. And they say, well, you know what, Brother Dave? I've served God now for this many years. I've switched out the light bulbs. I've picked up the trash. I showed up for the bus ministry. And I did all those things for the glory of our wonderful Savior. But that's not what God asked, is it? God, well, you need to hear this now. You need to hear this now. God didn't ask what you did. Come on now. God didn't ask what you did. God asked what you're doing.
Amen.
Boy, that's good preaching. Boy, that's good preaching. Boy, that's good preaching. He says, what you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Don't you read me your resume. I don't care. I don't. I deal with parents in the school every single day. I don't care about their resume. What's your child doing now? That's what I care about. Well, my child's been a good child and a record of being great. And he did this today. This is what he's doing. Look at this. And I love, this is the next thing that you do. Boy, you need to hear this now. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophet with the sword. It's everybody else's fault. Oh, I'm going to get home today, aren't I? What doest thou here? We're getting there. Hold on a second now. He says, and Elijah's done this in his head over and over and over again, Brother Mike. He's done this over and over and over again in his head, rehearsing the problem. And every time you rehearse the problem, it feeds the problem. The problem becomes bigger, whether it is or not, it's irrelevant. It becomes bigger to you. And Elijah said, well, glory to God. I've been very jealous for God. And all these people of Bethel, listen to what these people of Bethel are doing. Well, Miss Myrtle did this, and Miss Judy said that. And Brother Mike didn't do this, and Brother Jordan didn't do this. And I'm sick and tired of it. I'm telling you right now, no wonder I'm discouraged. I'm the jealous one. I'm the one working hard for God. That's why I'm so upset right now, because I'm the one working hard. Look at all these people are doing. God, you're looking at me, but what about them? Amen. Boy, that preaches good. Yeah. It preaches good because I've been there. It preaches good because I'm a preacher. Well, you're yelling at me. What about him? Come on now. Is that what God asked?
No. Right, no.
Did God ask, hey, Elijah, what Brother Mike doing here? Come on now. Did Elijah get asked the question, Brother Cantyver? What's Brother Cantyver doing here? That's interesting, isn't it? We spend so much time in discouragement, we notice everything else but what we need to see. We spend so much time in discouragement, we spend so much time bellyaching. Bellyaching is in the Greek for discouraged. We spend so much time worrying about what everybody else is doing when you got to be worried, what doest thou here? Look at this. And then he finishes it up with this. But, oh God, I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Preacher, I can't come to Sunday school because I only am left. And they seek to take my life away. What doest thou here, Elijah? He had rehearsed this problem over and over in his head. If you go down to verse 18, we're just going to hit this one time because I want you to understand something. God says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. There's lots of folks out there that are still in the fight. I've been asked lots of times, Brother Dave, you stand hard on the King James Bible. We are a dying breed. There's still guys out there. Let me tell you, there's still preachers out there that hold the King James Bible as a pure, Amen. Perfect, inspired word of Amen. God. Don't you get in your head that you're the only one left
Amen.
Standing.
Amen.
Don't you get in your head, well, I'm the only one carrying the banner. Now, there's lots of preachers out there carrying the banner. Yes, some have tucked tail and ran. But don't you get discouraged because people have left you. Don't you get discouraged because people have walked out on the Bible. And I don't mean that in any way but that right there. I mean that they walked out on the Bible. I mean they walked out on the Bible. You can patty cake it, sugarcoat it, try to love it all you want, but it still stands true. They walked out on the Word of God.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Come on.
But that gives us no right and no excuse to follow.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to stand here until I die. Brother Bill Turner, Senior, I guarantee you and promise you one thing, my friend. This young man right here will stand until I die holding on to the 1611.
Amen. Yes, amen.
There's not going to be a question mark after that with me.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a doubt on that with me. There's not going to be an argument on that. Not an argument. It's done. It's settled. It's the word of God. I'll amen myself. Amen, brother. But don't you think for 1 minute you're the only one. I only. No, it's not you, even you only. It will never be you, even you only.
Right.
It'll never be. You want me to tell you how? Well, Brother Dave, what if everybody died? It's not you, even you only, even then. Because you got somebody that's with you.
Amen.
Come on now. You got somebody that's with you.
Amen.
Don't you bellyache. You got God inside you. You got the Holy Spirit residing inside of you. And I guarantee you right now, you're never going to walk to a place when you're alone.
Amen.
I only. You're talking to God. I think he has that in the back of his mind that you have him with you. But it's beyond that. You've got other men out there that are holding up the flag. You've got other people out there that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Don't you think for 1 minute. Don't use that as an excuse. I love how the amen stopped right there. What doest thou here? He decides to read his resume, blame others, and complain about his circumstances. That's a discouraged man. I'm giving you the fact that he's discouraged. I'm letting you know he's discouraged. That's what we do when we're discouraged. And if you'd be honest with yourself, that's what you do when you're discouraged. That's what you do. You see that you have a thing that you believe you can't get through. And it's when you stay discouraged that other things set in with it. See, a lot of things stem from discouragement. A lot of things. How can you walk when you feel that you walk alone? Don't admit to yourself that you're walking alone. Don't admit that. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Preacher may not be able to walk with you all the time. Brother Dave may not be able to walk with you every step. But there is one who will. Don't get to the spot when you feel you're alone. And look what happens here. Verse 11. And he said, go forth. Well, we could just about preach right there, couldn't we?
Yep.
Well, God, it's everybody else's fault. God, I'm the only one left. God, I'm very jealous for you. And God looked down and he said, go forth. Well, I could just about stop right there, make 6 points, and be done with Sunday school for another 3 weeks. Go forth! Go forth! You're not going to be able to go forth sitting on your couch at home. You're not going to be able to go forth sitting on your couch watching Joel Osteen. Man, that's good preaching right there. Well, glory to God, Brother David, I don't think you should call out names. Better be careful, I'm going to call out yours. I'm going to tell you right now, don't you sit at home and don't participate in church because you're too discouraged. What doest thou here? Boy, that's good. Man. What you don't understand is I took the time this last week to preach this to myself in the mirror. See, you think I preach this to you in a condescending way. You think I preach this to you because, well, Dave, he's always in the service of God. He always, hogwash, I get discouraged too. I find myself under the juniper tree a lot. Come on now. A preacher stand up here and say he's got no faults is an idiot. I maybe revealed too many of my faults to you. Listen to me now. I find myself under the juniper tree acting just like this. Look at what, I love this. He said, go forth and stand. Oh my goodness, folks. Listen to what God's saying to you this morning. And he said, go forth and stand. Stand upon the mouth before the Lord. He's there. When you say what you say and you mean what you mean, God is there. Go forth and stand. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Now understand this. I said this last week. There is like 7 messages in those passages right there. But I got to skip all that to get to this one statement, because this is what it deals with my Sunday school. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You want so badly to have this wonderful revealing of God. Understand this. Sometimes we've got to be quiet. Sometimes we've got to listen. Sometimes we've got to get alone and say, God, I need you, Lord, help me. Sometimes we got to realize that God speaks to you in a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard that, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, apparently, the Lord wasn't happy with the first answer. What doest thou here? Now look. This is what he's rehearsed in his head. I have been very jealous for the Lord God. Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm going to break this what doest thou here into a couple of different things. This will help us on the road to recovery, for lack of a better word. Because God is saying this. You've got to look at what God is saying. Amen? If you look at the first couple of words, what doest? Doest was not what have you done. Doest was not what are you going to do. Because it's amazing how when we're discouraged, we'll say, well, I'm going to do this. But does it ever get done?
No.
See, the Bible is amazingly distinct when it says, you have no promise of tomorrow. I've done enough funerals to know you've got no promise of tomorrow. I said, you've got no promise of tomorrow, Christian.
Yes, sir.
So when the Lord come down and said, what doest? He's asking you, discouraged one. Because this seems to be a symptom, Brother Bob, of discouragement. A symptom of discouragement is you remove yourself from doing anything. It's amazing, preacher, and we've seen it. We've talked about this, where people become discouraged and they miss Wednesday night. I don't say amen yet, because you don't want to say amen here. You just want to think about this right here, because this is where you live. You miss Wednesday night because you're discouraged. You'll miss your Bible reading throughout the week because you're discouraged. You'll stop your prayer life because you're discouraged. You'll decide, a preacher doesn't recognize this, and you'll stay out of church on Sunday school. Brother Dave doesn't understand. He yells at me every time he preaches. I'm tired of getting yelled at. Well, I tell you what, do right. I'm not going to stand up here, bat my eyes with a paley, pasty face and a nice mullet and try to convince you that there's a greater purpose for your money. Because that's all that man does. Never talks about sin. Glory to God. I think it's sin to stay discouraged. I think it's sin to pull yourself out of God's work. Get mad all you want to. Cry, pout, stamp your feet. But it's wrong to pull yourself out of God's service. He died for you, Christian. He offers no excuses. There is none. Oh, he'll have patience. He'll show you he's there. He'll wait for you. He'll wait for you to heal up, because I guarantee you there's times when you're injured, and I maybe deservedly so. Maybe there's times you're injured where it wasn't no part of what you did. And I will admit that. We live in a sin-cursed world. I know those things happen, but glory to God, Christian, don't stay under the juniper tree. What doest? Go forth. Go forth and stand. When you get discouraged, do more. When you get discouraged, get yourself into God's service and start doing something. Because when people get discouraged, they pull out. And next thing you know, you are out of church and you ask yourself, how did I get here? God asked him, what doest thou here? What are you doing? What do you do for God? Come on. What do you do for God? I mean for God. And I'm not talking about to impress the pastor. I'm not talking about to make Brother Dave think you're a good worker. I think you're all good workers. You don't need to impress me. You don't need to impress me. But there is one that you ought to think about impressing. Am I coming down to where you live today? There's one that you're going to face someday, my friend. You might think, well, this is just preaching. Well, hold on then. Go ahead. Sit under the tree. And when the God of gods looks at you with his eyes burning in that refiner's fire and says, what doest thou here, Brian? What are you going to say? God, you don't understand. Didn't you see what they did to me? God, I've been jealous for you. God, I've been, you know what he's going to say to you? Shut your mouth. You're guilty. You think you got a leg to stand on? What doest thou here? What do? What? Did you come to Bethel today for what? Is this a gas station so you can fill up? And then for the rest of the week, you don't take your car out of the driveway? Is that why I'm here? Am I the serviceman to come out, wipe off your windshield, check your oil, and give you a gas fill-up? And then you go home and never drive your car? What doest? What doest? What doest? You're discouraged because you're not doing. You start working for God, you're going to get encouraged. Well, it's a thankless ministry. It's a thankless ministry. I'm so tired of pathetic. You might think I'm being hard on you today, but you deserve it. You've been sitting under the juniper tree for too long. I know you get hurt. I know it. I'm right with you. And we're here to pray for you. We're here to help you. And we want to bind up those wounds. Brother Kativer, we want to bind up the wounds of that soldier and send them back out. Yes, we do. And we want to be patient with you. We're not going to sit here and eat our young and eat our wounded and get rid of them. And I don't want to cast them off to the side because they had a rough spot. But you got to understand something. Sometimes the rough spot's long gone. Sometimes the rough spot's long gone, and you're still saying, I've been very jealous for God. It's amazing. People are gone, say they're spiritual. I've heard that more. That makes me want to puke. When I hear the words come out of somebody's mouth says, I'm spiritual, I want to throw up. Because the vast majority of the time, they're trying to tell themselves that. But they're not. If you're truly spiritual, you're never going to say the word. Come on now. What doest thou here? Well, I'm spiritual. No, you're not. You're a sinner. That's what you ought to say. I'm a sinner. Help me, God. I'm a sinner. I say that a lot because I see myself in the mirror all the time. Man, you are a sinner. And what's amazing is we're willing to sit under the tree saying that you're spiritual. Man, that preach is good. I'm glad I came this morning. Let's move on. He gets personal. Now he gets personal. By the way, there's enough to do in this church. Every one of you could be employed. Oh, you may not get paid for it in cash. It's amazing, though, how many people ask for money for doing things for God. Not saying a servant's not worthy of their hire, but it would be really nice. I take that back. Let me rephrase that. It is very nice to see people do things for God and not have their hand out. Because God did something for you, and he put his hands out. We owe him everything we've got. Now he gets personal. What doest thou? Elijah, I know what you said to me. I know you talked about Israel. I know you talked about all this stuff falling apart around you and all these people, how they're such sinners. I know, Elijah, that you're surrounded by people that are maybe faking serving God. I know, Elijah, that you're surrounded by hypocrites. Let me tell you something. There's a whole building full of them right now. Don't you use that hypocrite I hate that. That's another one of my pet peeves.
I'd go to church, but it's just full of hypocrites.
It is. You're right. You should come. You'll fit right in.
Amen. Yes, sir.
See, what amazes me is that everybody wants to point at everybody else, but they won't say, God, what am I doing here? What doest thou? What doest thou? What doest thou? You say, I got nothing to do. You little liar. Listen, I just give you an example. And I'm not Mutual Admiration Society. I don't care if you like this or not. I really don't. Because I don't care about saying, well, he's great, he's great. Let's all go out and have a party. I don't care about that. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know that. Bob Edwards, I can't do the ministry of Hattie Larlam. I've been there. Tears my heart out. Can't do it. Can't do it. I just be the first to admit, maybe that makes me a wimp. Maybe I don't care what that makes me. I can't do that ministry. I watch those people trapped inside their bodies, and it tears my heart out. I can't sit there with them and watch them. And what's sad is they're happy. I can't do that. I watch my little daughter, Tiffany. I don't care if I'm bragging on my kid. Go, if you want to go and leave if you don't like this. I'm bragging on my kid.
Amen.
I don't care what you think. In fact, you can't brag on your kid, you got a problem. I watch. Would you be quiet, please? Is this good? I watch Tiffany go to Hattie's and love those babies. I don't know how she does it. And my kid's not the only kid. But understand this. She has a connection with those babies, and those babies love her, and you can see it. But I can't do that. But he can. Now, Christian, what's sad is you look at this and you say, well, I can't do Hattie's. I can't be a Sunday school teacher. I've got nothing. Uh-uh. No. The Lord says, what doest thou? What doest thou? He's personal here. You need to hear this, Christian. It's personal. What can you do? The problem is you don't want to look. Boy, this is good. I'm glad nobody's amening right now. I hope you're listening to me. You don't want to look for something to do. You don't want to look because I've had people tell me, I don't want to get too much in the service of God. I don't want people to think I'm churchy. What on God's green earth is wrong with being churchy? What's the matter with you? Good night in the morning. What would you rather be? Bari? Come on now. What better do you have to do than to serve your Creator? What better do you have to do than serve your Savior? What better do you have to do? What doest thou? What doest thou? What are you doing today, Christian? What are you doing? Even if you warm a seat in the pew, you're doing something. I'd rather preach to 100 than to none. Although I wouldn't stop preaching. I'm going to tell you right now, if preacher doesn't let me preach at least once a week, I start to get the shakes. Preacher's got to preach. But listen to me now. What doest thou? Can you answer me this? What was Elijah doing? He was doing nothing. Elijah had a job spelled out. You need to hear this now. Come on. What God had a job spelled out for Elijah. Does he have a job spelled out for you? You better believe he does. He didn't save you to put you under the tarp in the lifeboat so when the time came, you could lower the ropes and jump on in. He saved you to serve him. He saved you to be a soldier. When you signed up for the army, Brother Cotiver, I got to believe that it wasn't to push paper. When you signed up to be in the Air Force, Captain Freimeyer, I got to believe it wasn't because you wanted to be a recruiter for the rest of your life. I'm going to tell you right now, when Brother Freimeyer signed up, he knew, I am signing up to be on a team, and they will give me a job. And when that job is given, I got to say that they don't give you a whole lot of chance to duck out. What do they call that, Brother Kataver? AWOL? You duck out. I wonder if God would brand you AWOL. Oh, man, this is good. I'm so glad that you came this morning to be beaten to submission. Are you AWOL on God? You're willing to sit under that juniper tree, and what doest thou? One of the saddest things is this next thing. Elijah was in the wrong place. Elijah was in the wrong place. God didn't tell him to go there, to that juniper tree. He tucked tail and ran. It's too hard. It's too hard. I'm afraid. You're allowed to be afraid, but know you got God with you. Why should you fear? What doest thou here? He wasn't doing anything. God was trying to show him that he had a purpose for him personally, you personally. God has a purpose for. What are you doing here when you should be out there? I'm not talking about here on this premises today. When you get into a place of discouragement, what are you doing here? Why are you here when you should be where I've asked you to be? Sadly, the vast majority of Christians today, preacher, and I got to believe you'd agree with me on this, the vast majority of Christians have no idea where they're supposed to be. They have no idea where they're supposed to be because they've never sought it out. They have no idea where they're supposed to be because they don't care. I'd rather have my pity party and stay here. It's a lot more festive. No, you got to understand something, Christian. You've got a place to be. And what's sad is the people that have left this place, the people that have left this place are going to search. They're going to search. Why? Because the place that they're looking for is right here. Christian, don't walk away from where God wants you to be. Elijah left. He left. Don't leave. Listen, you got to ask yourself. If you're planning on leaving, you got to ask yourself, do you have a preacher that's independent, fundamental, Baptist, preaches out of the King James Bible, stands, screams, spits, snorts, and preaches on sin? Do you have that?
Yes.
Do we have altar calls?
Yes.
Amen. Do we stand against abortion, stand against all those things of the world? We want to get you out of the world. We don't want you to be in the world.
Right.
Then this is the right place. Do you have a pastor that cares about you, scriptural, doesn't go away from the Bible? Then you're in the right place. Listen to me. Elijah walked away in the midst of his discouragement. And in the midst of his discouragement, he picked out something other than what God had told him to do. I've talked to lots of folks that have left the service of God. By the way, this is a progression. It really is. God gives him a progression in one statement. What doest? The first thing they do is drop out of doing things for God. They'll sit in the pew, but they'll drop out of the service of God. Be careful, Christian, because this is where you live. They drop out of what they're doing. They forget that they are a child of God. They forget that they have a purpose from God. They forget that they have been died for by God. They forget who they are. And then after they forget who they are, they leave where they're supposed to be. But it doesn't come until those other things happen. What doest thou here? I'm gonna ask you a question. What doest thou here? Fill in the blank with your name. What doest thou here? He answered the same way twice because God was not satisfied with the first answer. He missed it. He missed it. Elijah missed it. And we'll miss it if we stay under the juniper tree. We'll miss it if we stay in discouragement. We'll miss it if we start pulling out of things at Bethel. We'll miss it. What doest thou here, Christian? What doest thou here? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for giving me personally something to do. I pray, O God, that I would stay out of the trap of discouragement. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to realize that when I'm becoming discouraged, Lord, help me to realize that you're here. Help me to realize that you're patient. Help me to realize that you'll fix me. Help me to realize that I've got something to do. Lord, help me to draw closer to you. Help me to seek you out. And oh God, don't let me ever fall prey to being discouraged enough to pull out of serving my Savior. Because I believe with all my heart, Lord, there's going to be a day, and it's going to be very soon, that you come back. And oh God, I don't want to miss out on what you had for me. I don't want to miss out on what you had for me because I stayed under the juniper tree. Oh God, help me to realize what you have for me. Be with these people today in a special way. Love them. Anoint my pastor. Lord, he's got to preach what you have for him today. You've got to speak through him. And Lord, we've got to be ready to hear it. Help us to be ready to hear it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.